Chamber of Commerce in partnership with the Frederick County Building Industry Association. Welcome. We hope this will be an opportunity to learn more about each candidate in the upcoming mayoral primary election on September 14th. Ballots will be mailed mid-August. Early in-person voting will begin 4 days before the election at the former Trinity School building located at 6040 New Design Road. In addition, there will be drop boxes located throughout Frederick City. After the primary, the winner from each party will move on to the November 2nd general election. Once again, mail-in ballots and early voting will be an option. All candidates were invited to participate this evening, but for various circumstances, several un were unfortunately unable to. Tonight, we have with us Jennifer Daugherty, John Funderburk, Mayor Michael O'Connor, and Alderman Roger Wilson. We'll begin with 2-minute opening remarks by each candidate, followed by a series of questions where each candidate will be given 1 minute to respond. There will be no rebuttals, and we ask that each participant respect the time allowed. I'll raise this red card as a 10-second warning to wrap up your comments. Now, in alphabetical order, let's begin with 2-minute opening remarks by each candidate. Ms. Daugherty.
Thank you. Thanks everyone for hosting us and watching tonight. Over the course of the previous three events, we have heard a lot of thoughts without much meat on the bones. Some candidates think big thinking and innovation and public-private partnerships are the way to go with everything. That will move us forward. Others piggyback on others' platforms, making that the meat of their election. This election is really about whether Michael deserves a return to office. And I'm running because I don't think he does. I'm running because I don't think he's a good leader. His ideas are not his own, and he doesn't communicate clearly with us. He is not decisive, and yet when he does make a decision, they defy common sense, like the logo or the FOP contract or busting up the NACS. I have the experience and the skill to bring us to our best future. I see the big picture, and I don't scoff at the idea of doing the small things. I can think on my feet, prioritize hot issues, and I show up every day to do the job. In our last debate, Michael said in 2017 he was elected with five aldermen with a mandate to govern, and that they have governed with respect, collaboration, and unity. Yet the finger-pointing on the new logo, the ethics complaint, Facebook outing, and blight doesn't quite fit the definition of respect. In 2017, Michael said the economic development priority that was number one for him was the hotel project, but a third extension has just been signed. In 2001, I said my number one economic development priority was finishing Carroll Creek Park. In 4 years, we cleared up old state grant issues, voided a contract with a non-performing developer, welcomed Governor Ehrlich with brownfields legislation, and invited multiple developers to perform on the creek, building restaurants and houses and offices. I didn't do it alone, but I led the charge. That's what leaders do. So in a few weeks, it'll be up to you. More of the same, wondering what's happening and when it'll get done, or renewed energy in City Hall that delivers the results that we expect and deserve. I ask for your support in the election. Thank you, and I look forward to your questions.
All right, Mr. Funderburk.
Hello, my name is John Funderburk. I'm a Navy veteran and a business owner. And my vision and leadership is a stark contrast to the current mayor, Michael O'Connor, and a former mayor, Jennifer Daugherty. Michael's leadership was absent during the pandemic. At the last debate, he commented on having weekly press conferences. But when I went to look up the weekly press conferences on the Frederick County website, there was one press conference, I think on November 17th. And then on his Twitter, on the Frederick County Twitter page, there was a tweet saying the May 6th weekly press conference was canceled, but there was no reference to an additional follow-up press conference. That is absence of leadership, and that is a stark contrast to my leadership. My leadership will also be different than Jennifer Daugherty. She touts her accomplishments as she was being voted out of office after one term. The voters already spoke on her time in office. When she was mayor, she clashed against the aldermen. When she was mayor, she clashed against the Weinberg Center. When she was mayor, she clashed against the county. is well documented that Jennifer Doherty was combative, not collaborative, and that is not leadership, and that is something that we don't need, especially in today's climate. My vision for Frederick is to bring a luxury hotel convention center, get that to completion, to eliminate or drastically reduce homelessness, to eliminate or drastically reduce the need for affordable housing, to improve the quality of life by building interconnected bike paths, and eliminating noise and traffic by closing down the primary streets of Patrick Street and Marcus Street. And my fifth mandate would be to increase public safety by reducing crime, which has exploded over the past year. Jennifer Doherty just commented on my proposals of innovation. These proposals are working in every other city our size. It is time to bring Frederick into the new millennium by having strong public-private partnerships with businesses that have already committed to investing in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor O'Connor.
Thank you very much. Thank you to the Frederick County Building Industry Association and to the Chamber of Commerce for hosting this opportunity. Opportunity, engagement, sustainability, and now resilience. I followed through on the promises from 2017 to move Frederick forward. And we have done just those things, creating opportunity, building engagement, doing more to address sustainability and resilience in our community. We have done that through our commitment to public safety, the hiring of a new police chief, our commitment to the new programs that we're implementing under his leadership, mobile crisis, law enforcement assisted diversion, and very soon, we hope a new headquarters building. We've done that through our commitment to reimagining support for our most vulnerable with the creation of a Department of Housing and Human Services. And we have done that in the face of historic flooding, justice marches, and a global pandemic. My opponents would like you to forget that we have presided over an era of great uncertainty in our community. And despite what they say, we did communicate with the public throughout the pandemic. If Mr. Funderburk couldn't find our weekly briefings, perhaps he should have looked on the City of Frederick's website and not Frederick County. We have done what we said we were going to do. I don't have to make promises to you. That's what you'll hear from the others tonight. I am proud to run on the record of the last 4 years. 4 years where we have demonstrated our commitment and our resolve to make Frederick the best community that it can be. I ask for your vote on September 14th. Thank you very much.
Alderman Wilson.
Yes, my name is Roger Wilson, and thank you to the Frederick County Builders Association and the Frederick County Chamber of Commerce for hosting this forum tonight. And also to the listening audience, thank you for listening in and learning more about our platforms and what our vision would be for the City of Frederick. I'm running for mayor because the city needs leadership and vision. Simply put, I want to provide that leadership. You know, I spent 20 years in private sector at IBM and retired in 2013 as an associate partner there. I also work locally here in Frederick County with Frederick County government as the Director of Government Affairs and Public Policy, working closely with the county executive, advocating on her behalf down in Annapolis, and also working with our 12 municipalities here in Frederick County. I am the only candidate. I am the only candidate that has this experience coming in to be your next mayor. There are key areas that I want to focus on in my administration. Five key areas. One, making public safety a top priority. We need a safe city. Two, taking immediate action on blighted properties that have been in existence for many decades. Three, proposing legislation to amend our city charter to actually have representative government. Long overdue, we need to establish wards and districts for our aldermen. 4, creating a community-first approach to development. This is key. Many of us in our community feel left out in giving direction to the city. 5, lastly, I want to conduct a comprehensive needs assessment for our seniors. During the pandemic, we learned a great deal of information. Our vulnerable population, which is our seniors, they were deeply impacted. We need to understand what those needs are and provide those services to them. The city faces many other challenges, but these are the key areas that I am hearing on the campaign trail. I look forward to the debate tonight and having a wonderful discussion, and I hope you understand what my leadership and vision is after the discussion tonight. Thank you again for hosting us.
Thank you, Alderman Wilson. We'll now move on to the question and answer portion of our forum. There are 11 questions. Each candidate will have 1 minute to respond, and there will be no rebuttals. Once again, in alphabetical order. Question 1, do you think property taxes in the city of Frederick are too high? And if so, will you pursue lowering taxes within the city for businesses and residents? Ms. Dougherty.
Well, it depends on who you ask, and people will always pay for quality services. And I think most people in the city have made that choice. But I do think our property taxes are too high on the county side. And that property tax differential is the main reason I think Michael has failed in leadership, and Alderman Wilson has as well. Because of our delegation in Annapolis, Frederick County is the only county in the state of Maryland that has the ability to have a review of our tax differential payment, which means simply city residents pay a discounted rate of county taxes for duplicated services. We haven't done that annual review, and I think on average, a household would save about $1,000 a year. We will deliver that data to the county before the FY23 budget is prepared and making our assumptions based on that. We will also publicize that information with the community through the neighborhood advisory councils, and we will make it a specific issue in next year's countywide races, making sure that the candidates running for the precincts within the city are aware of it, and the county executive candidates are supportive of the city efforts. Thank you.
Same question.
First of all, it was Frederick City website. Sorry for misspeaking. And Mayor O'Connor, if you visit your own website, though, whoever listening, please visit the Frederick City website. Go under COVID-19 City's response. It's a button there. Hit that button. There's a list of events of our response. And there's only one press conference in that entire list. So please visit that. It's public information. Secondly, public taxes. After last debate, I really looked into the Westfield Regional Park, and I saw that it was a very bad investment. That entire project is taking up $16 million out of our budget. It's also taking up a monthly $100,000 per debt service. If we were to sell that land, we would have that tax base. We can then lower taxes in Frederick. We have the ability to do affordable housing, the ability to handle homelessness in more of a vibrant way, because our budget would be freed up from this very bad investment. So I'm proposing that we sell that land and that we utilize that tax base to lower our taxes for our residents. Business owners just received a tax bill, and some companies' taxes have tripled from $6,000 to $18,000 just because they renovated their property. That's not right. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor O'Connor.
So the question is whether or not property taxes in the city too high and whether we would commit to lowering them for residents and businesses. Ms. Dougherty is incorrect. We do every year have a conversation with the county about tax equity. But in order to readdress that formula, the county has to agree. And up until this point, the county does not agree that the formula in place should be changed. But that is a conversation that we are committed to having, and we'll address that a little bit later when there's actually a question about tax equity. Property taxes, the rate in the city has not increased in 9 years, including the four budgets which I have proposed. And we have been pursuing a 10-year phase out of the business personal property tax in the city of Frederick to increase our competitiveness with Frederick County, which does not have one. That process will be completed within the next 2 years. I understand that generally no one believes that taxes are too low. But my commitment as mayor will be to continue to ensure that taxes align to the high quality and expectations of our residents for city services and shouldn't be a penny higher than necessary to accomplish that. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Wilson.
Yes, thank you for the question. This is a very important issue people are talking about because taxpayers did receive their bill in the mail in the last few weeks. I remember moving to the city of Frederick back in 1997. I remember trash being picked up twice a week. We got at least 1 year of bulk trash. We didn't have to call in or anything like that. The city just picked it up. We got our leaves picked up. The point is that the services have diminished over the years, but our taxes have remained the same, in fact, increased. I am one that wants to work closely with the county executive once I'm elected mayor to reduce our tax burden in the city. I am very familiar with the tax equity formula, and Jennifer is totally wrong. We do review the tax equity formula with the county every year. There's state legislation that was passed back in 2015 by Delegate Carol Krim that established that law to make sure that the county and the municipalities have that conversation. So that's just an education for you, Jennifer. One of the things that I want to do is make sure that we're reducing the burden on our seniors and our retirees here in the city. One of the first pieces of legislation that I established as an alderman was establishing a senior tax credit that had never been done in the city. So I want to build on that. I understand the tax burden on our most vulnerable citizens. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Wilson. Moving on to the next question. Many residents within Frederick County do not live inside the city limits. However, they utilize the services and shop at those businesses inside the city. Do you think there's a disincentive for businesses to locate within the city as compared to the county with respect to taxes and fees? Furthermore, would you support an effort to evaluate tax equity between the city and county? We'll start with Ms. Dougherty, and I'll remind everyone to keep your answers to 1 minute, please.
I'm happy to start every question, but I thought we were rotating the answers. The tax equity issue, in business, it is location, location, location. People choose Frederick, and the premise of your question is people come to support our businesses because of the density of cool places to eat, shop, and enjoy. The quality of services and the quality of life in the city of Frederick make it attractive. It's relatively safe. It's convenient. The concentration of similar and supportive businesses make it likely that people are successful in the city because of our customer base. We also have an outstanding workforce in our city. The idea that that we're focused on the next generation from my administration is a big point. Other issues that we have to address with the city government are the high-speed internet, making sure all neighborhoods are connected, and also making sure our transportation hubs are working and expanding, but not just with roads, making sure our mass transit options exist. Now, both Michael and Roger have said I was mistaken on tax equity. They both said they made the case since 2015 that the city has not been getting a fair shake from the county. So either I'm right or they're wrong because they have not been successful in making the case to the city, to the county. We do pay too much taxes to the county. That's the challenge. Fix it.
Thank you, Mr. Funderburg.
My job is to evaluate investments, and the investment of the West Side Regional Park is very bad for our city. We need to sell that Westside Regional Park so that we can utilize that land as revenue. Our total budget in Frederick is $170 million. I mean, that is it. And out of $170 million, $16 million goes to debt service for Westside Regional Park. If we were to sell that land, that $16 million can be freed up to address other issues such as lowering taxes and making it a better business environment for other businesses to come here. Right now our budget is full, and our department heads aren't getting what they're asking for to make the city run effectively. So my proposal is to sell Westside Regional Park. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor O'Connor.
Thank you. Our job is to make sure that we don't create a disincentive, either intentionally or otherwise, for businesses or residents to come to the city. With over 73,000 residents and 3,700 businesses, clearly, Frederick continues to be a desirable place to live, to work, and to thrive. And that happens by creating a high quality of life, which our neighborhoods and our employers help to provide. Our MPDU ordinance in the city of Frederick, our adequate public facilities ordinance, our school construction fee are all favorable compared to the counties to invite development that should appropriately occur within the municipal boundaries. We should regularly evaluate the tax differential formula. But again, my inability to persuade the county to look at this issue differently than the way I look at it, perhaps I should be more persuasive, but the county is free to reject that argument. We should regularly reevaluate that formula. I do not believe it currently addresses all of the areas of duplication, and I've had that conversation on many occasions with the county executive. The county executive and I agree on many things. We disagree on this issue. It is an area we do not alone control. I will continue to advocate not for the city and the county, but for a third party entity to come in and review that formula to determine whether or not equity is in place.
Thank you, Mayor O'Connor. Alderman Wilson.
Yes, you know, it's just not tax equity that we find ourselves often competing with the county on attracting businesses in the city. You know, there are tap fees, there's the permit process, there's other fees that are associated, you know, with businesses coming into the city. It could be square footage of warehousing. The point is that it's just not just taxes. There's a system that's not working half of the time when we're attracting business into the city. You know, I often, when I was working with the county government, I would often talk to businesses about, you know, why they're not choosing between the city or the county, okay? And it was these other issues that were out there, the ability for the city to respond in a rapid pace. So yes, we do have some work to do in this area.
Thank you, Alderman Wilson. And we'll move on to the next question. And this time we will reverse the order, and we'll start back with you, Alderman Wilson. Question three, do you favor keeping the current city election on an off year rather than aligning it with the gubernatorial or presidential elections? Also, do you favor a nonpartisan city election? And starting with you this time, Alderman Wilson.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I am open to the idea of open primaries. I really do believe that the opportunity is now. With our city growing. When we first came to live here in the city, the population was about 40,000. Today is 80,000. It's going to be around 100,000 by 2045. And that deserves a different approach, a different structure to government. We need representative government. We need more participation in government. So yes, I'm open to open primaries. I'm open to changing the timing of our election to the presidential election or the county and the state election. All these avenues work. We do have a different way of voting this time with mail-in ballots. I'm hoping that we'll keep that that opportunity to for people to participate in voting. It's all good when these opportunities are there in place.
Thank you. Mayor O'Connor.
Thank you. As someone who's running for re-election this year, I have to tell you, for me, this is the on year. Those other years are the off years as far as I'm concerned. I believe that switching city elections to one of those other years would have the potential for our ballot and our races to get lost at the end of a very long ballot behind constitutional amendments at the state level, Board of Education races, other elections that might occur. I think there's something that we benefit from by having our city elections get the attention they need as Maryland's second largest city, a city of 73,000 residents. By mailing ballots to all registered voters in the city this year, we are ensuring the best opportunity for participation. If we were to participate with one of those other elections, we alone would not control the ability to do that. We would be dependent upon the county to do that. And I believe it's relevant, the party that we represent. Our elections should not be nonpartisan. While most issues are not partisan, the D after my name is a broad statement of my values, and it's important to me.
Thank you. Mr. Funderburg.
I am. My thinking is that we should maintain the elections as off-year elections because the ability to have the race focus on local issues and local politics is important. I agree with Michael in that all of our issues would get lost with the other initiatives and the gubernatorial and so forth. In addition to that, the word nonpartisan seems to be like a buzzword or a kind word. But if we were to open up to a nonpartisan election, then you would be opening up to the shenanigans of one side trying to influence the other side by affecting who wins their particular primary or who represents each other in the general. So I'm for partisan elections. I like the D behind my name. I like the fact that I can campaign to Democrats, and I like the fact that I can compete against Democrats. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, moving on. Ms. Dougherty. Sorry.
It's Matt. Do I want to move the city elections to combine with the gubernatorial and presidential? No, I don't. Like many of the others, I like the hyper-local discussion. I want to be talking about what's happening on Market Street, not necessarily what's happening in Mississippi or in Washington, D.C. But the hot-button issues that we ignore are why we don't have more voter turnout, and that's why some of the reform that I've proposed, including districts for aldermen, having five precincts for aldermen and two at-large seats, would be helpful to increase participation. Having term limits for elected officials would help rotate the stock through, so to speak, making sure that we have fresh ideas coming in from time to time. And that's all elected officials. We're all for that until we get on our names on the ballot, right? But I'm for it now. I was for it before. And to allow the open election or nonpartisan election, I've suggested a hybrid, which would allow residents who are unaffiliated voters who choose that designation, not for local issues, but for national reasons, most likely, to choose a ballot, either a Democratic ballot or a Republican ballot. And they can say, this year, the candidates on the Democratic side are much more interesting than on the Republican side. So they want to participate. We have to invite people in, and that's the process that Democrats believe in, inviting more people into the process. And I commend the city for putting out and continuing the efforts from last year and making sure that every registered voter gets a mail-in ballot. I think that that's part of the solution that we can see looking forward, and let's hope that more than 3,000 people vote in this primary.
Thank you. All right. And now moving on to the next question, which Ms. Dougherty, you'll begin with. We'll alternate back and forth. On the city's moderately priced dwelling unit ordinance that allows for payment in lieu of, do you see any changes to this policy? Ms. Dougherty.
Yeah, I don't really see any changes right now. There are some more important and more pressing matters that I'd like to address when it comes to dealing with affordable housing issues. The $16,000+ that are currently collected on behalf of the development community or from the development community on behalf of affordable housing units is being directed towards new projects. But one of the things that we're seeing is the new projects are moving forward and bringing in units that are still putting housing out of reach of people that earn $15 an hour. The idea that we would be able to solve that problem in the next 3 to 6 months, I don't think is realistic. I'd rather have a much more in-depth conversation about it. The current administration has no news about MPDUs and adding to the cost of that. I think let's take a look at that. I'd rather not add on costs that'll just add on costs to new construction for average priced homes that would go from $350,000 to $360,000. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Thank you. Mr. Funderburg.
Yes, Jennifer herself said that we needed fresh ideas, and this is one area that I'm bringing fresh ideas and innovative solutions. I keep mentioning other places that have smaller homes or different kind of dwellings to fit the lifestyle and income of people that are either lower income or that are single. A single person doesn't need a two or three bedroom home. A single person can use maybe a smaller space that's clean, that has a place that they can call theirs. So an innovative solution of having smaller, very smaller dwelling units can help solve the affordable housing problem that all of this bleeds into. And I keep hammering this over and over again. Our budget is too full of fluff. What we need to do is sell the West Side Regional Park so that we're able to free up our budget and we're able to build more affordable homes so that these programs, MDPUs, aren't as needed or as dire because we have people that have affordable homes. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor O'Connor.
So I just have to put this on the record at the beginning. The city simply is not paying $16 million a year for Westside Regional Park. It's just not. The $100,000 a month in debt service is an accurate number, but the $16 million in our budget is not. Regarding moderately priced dwelling units, this policy should give those constructing homes an honest choice in whether to build the units or to pay the fee. Presently, I think the policy is probably weighted more in favor of builders choosing to pay the fee. It is important for the city to use those funds collected in furtherance of our affordable housing goals and those of our community. The city has been a part of welcoming 3 workforce housing projects into the city since I've been mayor, and there are 2 more on the horizon. With the creation of the new housing division in our new Department of Housing and Human Services, I'm excited about the opportunities that presents in helping us create more affordable housing opportunities.
Thank you. Alderman Wilson.
Hey, Matt, I want to take the opportunity to go back to something that I heard from my opponents in this race. You know, taxpayers received their tax bill a few weeks ago. And what you just said was that unaffiliated have no value and cannot participate in democracy. I mean, that's what's going on around the country right now. People not being able to vote and voting rights being attacked. That's ridiculous. This should be an open primary. As far as MPDUs, we do need to modify that ordinance. We need to take it up slightly. Right now, in the city of Frederick, the requirement is for moderately priced dwelling units is 12.5%. We need to take it up to 15%. It's time. I looked to see today, we have 7,178 homes that are approved for development. We need affordable housing. Let's get to work.
Right. Thank you, Alderman Wilson. And question 5, do you support a more targeted and timely approach to updating identified issues in the land management code? And This time we'll start with Mr. Funderburg.
I support a better communication process across the board, not only to the land management code, but how government communicates, period. Earlier, I made a comment on how you go to the website and you look at Frederick County's response, COVID-19 response, and it's very sparse. But if you go to other counties' websites, they have things there every single day. We are living in an age where we have Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and messaging service and personal phone. You can just message to your phone. Overall, our communication strategy needs to change. Needs someone with energy, someone that has the 1-2 leadership style and wants to continue to have open lines of communication because local government means a lot. When I'm on the campaign trail, almost no one knows or understands what this current administration is doing. I have to tell them what the policies are so that we can talk about what we disagree with because they have no idea. And half of the people in my neighborhood didn't even know we even had a mayor. So yes, I support better communication techniques. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Wilson.
So the question is around looking into revising our land management code. And I am one that is a proponent of revising and offering a different look to the land management code. It needs to be predictable, but it also needs to be clear. Right now it's spaghetti. And a lot of our developers or development partners have frustration with it. And also our citizens, our community doesn't really understand it. So yes, it's time for us to relook at that. And as mayor, that will be a priority for me.
Okay. And Ms. Dougherty.
Okay. The land management code is a little bit like spaghetti, but everybody loves spaghetti, Roger. So what I would like to do is build an annual review of the land management code to start workshops and hearings right after the city budget process is done. Let's just say June, July, and August. Don't make it random, make it predictable so that the neighborhood advisory councils get to participate, the general public is paying attention, the development community can bring forward their ideas, and the staff is ready for the focus. We avoid the claim of emergency needs to change to the land management code. It's just not that likely. And then during the rest of the year, we can break other things down, but having land management code updates, it just doesn't make sense if you do it haphazardly throughout the year. Focus the summer, address the need for the updates, and then we can focus on green updates, sustainability issues that the development community should be building into their new construction. And then yesterday, I use as an example, I happened to tune into the workshop for no good reason. The mixed use zoning conversation was on and I heard the staff say, well, we'll come back in 9 months. I mean, there'll be a new mayor and a new board in 9 months. Do you understand that waiting 9 months for some result is unacceptable in terms of city government? And you guys just went along with it and nodded and said, okay, fine, we'll see you in 9 months. Do you have enough staff? That was a bad one to tune into. Sorry. I'm done.
With the adoption of the new comprehensive plan that occurred recently, changes are coming to the land management code. At a risk of becoming a little wonky, but I think for this audience, you want to understand who amongst the people running for mayor actually has a grasp of the facts. The new plan envisions the use of more form-based options and mixed-use opportunities. Ms. Dougherty did reference the workshop yesterday. Staff presented options regarding sections that will need revisions, including the use matrix, and they're going to begin working on short-term improvements. But staff can't snap their fingers to make these things happen. Additionally, we're in the process of writing the RFP for the services to help with the land management code revisions that are necessary to achieve our new comp plan's long range vision. With the pace of permits and development review in the city right now at almost a near high, the existing LMC is not proving to be the obstacle. However, our mission has to be that timely improvements occur whenever they're necessary.
Thank you. And that brings us to the next question. Frederick City and County have their own economic development departments. In an effort to have them work together, especially in matters that overlap, What would be your approach to promoting the market and economic development? For example, a joint city-county development authority or a quasi-governmental entity such as Montgomery County's Development Corporation? And we'll start with Alderman Wilson.
Okay, Matt. Yes, I think it's time now for us to visit or consider an economic development authority. We've seen good work through collaboration with the tourism, Chamber of Commerce, and also the city and the county's economic development departments. That worked, that showed during the pandemic. And as you can see, how our businesses were resilient. I think it works. And examples of this model exist. Montgomery County, Howard County, we can do this. We just need the political will. And good things will come from it. Big things will come from it if we just move on it and make a decision.
Thank you. Mayor O'Connor.
Thank you. The collaboration that exists today between the city and the county's economic development departments is outstanding. Add in the state, the Chamber of Commerce, the Downtown Frederick Partnership, our Main Street organization, and others, and we have in many ways perfected a secret sauce to economic development success in Frederick. The biggest opportunity that I see is ensuring that our review processes in the city, where external approvals are required, water and sewer plan amendments, soil conservation district sign-offs, MDE approvals, and I'm sure there are many others, are able to share information in real time as much as possible with enhanced paperless reviews and those kinds of vehicles to keep these approvals as concurrent as we possibly can. Perhaps more than anything, what I hear from the development community and the people that I talk to in the business community is predictable and achievable timelines. That's what will drive a competitive edge in the city of Frederick.
Thank you. Ms. Dougherty.
Roger, you couldn't be more wrong. I created the Department of Economic Development when I was mayor because the city needed a voice. The city needed to have someone advocating, recruiting, and bringing business here. Now, Michael is right that we do have the secret sauce. We have a very positive relationship with Frederick County government, tourism, Downtown Frederick Partnership, the Golden Mile Alliance, East Frederick Rising. The idea is that we cannot hand over, which would inevitably happen based on what I heard from you both on tax equity, we cannot hand over our autonomy to an entity that thinks of us as a little brother or little sister. We do the work together, we're collaborative, we work on things. But let's look at an example of how this doesn't work, this concept of unifying officially under one banner would hurt the city. Right now, the recordation tax process takes all of the money to the county government, and the county uses that money for ag preservation. The city doesn't get a percentage of that at all. So that idea, for me, is a no-go. We have to make sure that we're fighting for our interests. Sorry about that, Matt.
Yeah. And Mr. Funderburg.
Thank you. Unifying the Department of Economic Development is a bad idea because one, Frederick City has a unique set of problems that we are dealing with. The county has a unique set of problems that we are dealing with. Frederick City has an amazing historic downtown with our businesses downtown that have a unique set of issues that we have to address. We cannot combine the different cultures of Frederick County and Frederick City and expect that to be a winning combination. Listening to Michael, I can see why some of the projects may or may not be getting done because he's acquiescing to the county. We need to have autonomy, we need to have a voice, and we need to be in control of our own destiny when it comes to Frederick City. Thank you.
Thank you. That brings us to question 7. Cities with similar issues and opportunities have found the right balance between historic preservation and business and residential development, both infill and redevelopment. Do you support striking a new balance in the city of Frederick with our citizens and the business community via a comprehensive look at historic preservation practices? And we will start with Mayor O'Connor.
Thank you. I firmly believe that the decision to create the historic preservation overlay and the work done over the last nearly 70 years has created the differentiating factor between Frederick as a place to live and work and myriad other similar sized communities. Our historic district is the largest contiguous collection of historic resources among the 75 designated districts in the state. Yes, balance must always be struck. Just because something is old doesn't make it historic. But we have seen wonderful examples of adaptive reuse projects on my watch: 520 North Market Street, Union Knitting Mills, the Ox Fiber Brush Company ribbon cutting that I just attended this morning. Old and new can be blended. The guidelines were last updated in 2019, with a prior update in, I believe, 2015. So it seems another review will be starting during the next administration, and it's something that ought to regularly happen. Our historic district is too important to the future of our city.
Thank you. And Alderman Wilson.
Yeah, I just want to take an opportunity to advocate for being transformational about the Economic Development Authority. You know, at IBM, we had this old saying, and I was in sales, we hunted in packs. And collaboration and partnership are key in how we do well in the city of Frederick. I have a different vision, and I'm a different leader. I try things, and I know that this works, and Montgomery County has done it, Howard County has done it, and I think we can do it in Frederick County, in Frederick City. As far as the HPC, we've done good work in the city of Frederick with our historic commission, but we can do better. We need to be more flexible, and we also need to be less rigid. And I think the business community, and I think the community at large is counting on us to do some revisions there.
Thank you. Mr. Funderburg.
So campaigning, I'm talking with a lot of business owners in the historic district, and it is amazing the stories that I hear. The HBC has done a good job, but there are also concerns that the business owners have with HBC. For example, when a business gets renovated according to the HBC's rules and regulations and looks really nice, their taxes almost triple after they've renovated the property and they've enhanced the wealth of the neighborhood. So that has happened with a couple of businesses downtown. In addition, a huge complaint I'm getting is, how does the historic preservation have so much control, but we have so many blighted buildings downtown that when they do one thing that's off of the manuscript, but then we have a blighted building that's been there for over 20 years since the time of Jennifer's administration. How is that possible? Why can't we merge the two together? Because historic district is historic district. It's not just the individual buildings, but it's the entire community. So I believe the HBC has done a great job, but I think it needs more flexible, and it can do better.
Thank you. Ms. Dougherty.
I support the historic district, and its value cannot be overstated. It gives us identity and a sense of place. The reason we have a Main Street program is because we have a historic district. And it's because of the historic district, or within the historic district, property values go down less in bad times and they rise more quickly in good times. And I think we're witnessing that right now. The guidelines, I think, are updated on a quadrennial basis. The idea that they are always right is, of course, not possible. They can't always be right. And I think they've been modernized to accommodate infill. Sometimes you see the benefit that city government or public projects get along Carroll Creek, Hope 6, the workforce housing that's been done. So I think we have to make sure that we're balancing fairness, making sure that private developers get the same benefits that the city government gets when it's advancing its projects. Energy efficiency and sustainability have to be part of the conversation, because at Hope 6, there was a whole new raft of issues that we saw after that came along. So balance, fairness, but I support the historic district and the Preservation Commission's efforts, because it means a lot to our identity.
Thank you. Question 8. During a recent trip to Greenville, South Carolina, chamber representatives learned that one of the city's most successful tools was a citywide tax increment financing that was purposeful and led to strategic investment and long-term infrastructure needs. Do you support serious evaluation and consideration of such a funding mechanism, particularly for citywide regional road needs that otherwise are competing for funding? And we'll start with Mr. Funderburk.
No, and no again. I think that our taxes shouldn't be raised, if I'm hearing the question correctly. I think that our budget needs to be freed up once again by getting rid of Westside Regional Park. And Mayor Connie, you are correct. It isn't $16 million a year, but since we've purchased a property since 2008, it's pretty close to $16 million that we've sunk into that land that we can't do anything with because we don't have the money to develop it. So all of our money is going, not all of them, sorry, $100,000 is going per month to somewhere where we can't do anything with. That money can be reconstituted so we can lower our taxes and to help fix our streets and to help build the speed bumps and all the other things that make our quality of life better. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Dougherty.
I don't generally support a citywide tax increment financing district. I think that's really just another phrase for a general obligation bond debt, which John is completely against. There are pluses to TIF districts, and I see them as locational rather than citywide. It fills an empty spot. It performs a task. Maybe even it helps identify a blighted property that the city can acquire and convert to another use with the help of a private developer. There is a benefit to some TIF districts, but they're not universally perfect because you have to do the financial analysis. Some of the early TIFs in the city were not beneficial to the city. They didn't perform financially. And you really do have to anticipate that the property taxes are coming into the city that are additional to the general fund to cover some other costs. I think it's possible that we can use affordable housing projects with TIFs, and we'll get into that in another question. Thank you. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you. And Mayor O'Connor.
So I'll just start by saying TIFs are complicated animals. So this is not an easy thing to address. But I would say this, I support serious consideration and evaluation of any mechanism that could help us to achieve the infrastructure demands, transportation notable among them, required to maintain a high quality of life in the city. We, for example, are actively working on a development of a mobility fee. Workshop conversations will be coming in a few weeks on that, which is an innovative way to collect revenue from new development for improvements where expanding the street grid is either impractical or impossible. And previously, these developments may have contributed very little or nothing to transportation. So expanding our options when it comes to pedestrians, bicycles, shared use path connections, rails and trails, dedicated bus lanes, transit enhancement, connections to regional transportation are all envisioned in both the comp plan and the strategic plan, which this administration created and the board adopted, the first in the city's history, which informs that comp plan. We need innovative funding solutions to achieve these goals.
Thank you. Alderman Wilson.
Yes, I'm open to this idea. I think it's innovative. Any innovative solution is good when it comes to infrastructure development. But I would like to also expand that infrastructure into human capital. I mean, we need to hire more police, firefighters, people that are providing public works. We need these individuals in our community, and we need to provide the housing for these individuals. I think it's important. Fixing our sidewalks, of course, roads, improvements, I think are all very important. I'm open to the idea of anything that provides additional infrastructure and also reduces the tax burden on our citizens.
Thank you, Alderman Wilson. And our next question, the last year and a half has proven to be a major disruptor for our business community and our community as a whole, leading many businesses, often with the assistance and facilitation of city government, to pivot and reimagine how to deliver commercial and personal services to our community. Do you support a targeted and timely approach to identify permanent regulatory and policy changes to facilitate the ongoing success of our business and development community? And we'll start with Alderman Wilson.
The answer is yes. And, we did see how our community and how our business community was extremely resilient during this unprecedented public health crisis that we're still in the midst of, by the way. But one of the things that I would enact as mayor is a few things. One is I would establish an emergency reserve fund for our businesses to tap into. I think that's important because we don't know what the costs are, and we don't know the predictability of what concerns that are will be in place. Establishing a business advisory group, especially for our small businesses ahead of time, to make sure that they're giving us the trends and challenges that they're facing. And lastly, establishing a virtual mall where small businesses now are competing against Amazon. They need to, our retail businesses downtown especially, need to be able to compete as well.
All right. Mr. Funderburg.
Thank you. I appreciate hearing the word innovation. It must have scored well among my candidates' personnel, because now everyone's talking about innovative ideas. My innovative idea is one of my core issues is communication and the ability for businesses to communicate with each other in real time. During the pandemic, my primary source for the government was FC, the school system, because they had the alerts going every single day, emails going every single day about what the new mandate was, what the new business mandate was, which translates to our schools. So we need an updated communication system, one where the website, the Twitter, the Facebook, all is cohesive and having a general message that ties our business community together so that we can communicate, understand what's going on, be able to see on the horizon what's coming, and all of us be able to react in a way that serves Frederick's uniqueness and Frederick commerce. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Dougherty.
I'm not sure if Roger really misspoke or meant to say that we're going to have a city government website that competes with the private sector. That to me is just a red flag that you can't ignore. But during COVID, I think we could all see the need for private enterprise to pivot and to adjust. And I think we did. I think with the help of many, the federal, state, and local governments did participate in the support of local businesses, mine included. But we were there every single day. City government wasn't there, they were home. In fact, Michael said, we had to be concerned about the childcare issues for our staff, which is true. But the question that we were addressing was, what about your residents? What about your businesses? We absolutely had poor communication out of City Hall during the time of the coronavirus outbreak. We heard from the governor, we heard from Mario Cuomo, and every single morning I heard from Kara Norman and the Downtown Frederick Partnership, every single morning. Their mission was clear, they read us information, they linked us with programs that might help us. We have to be more expressive in our communication, we have to learn to be flexible in emergency, and in fact, just so you know, post 9/11, I came into office. The emergency operations plans that were adopted then would have been exactly the blueprint that you could have used during this pandemic.
And Mayor O'Connor.
Thank you. Through hundreds of business visits, groundbreakings, and ribbon cuttings over the last 18 months, I could not be more impressed with the resilience, the innovation, and the adaptability of our employees, our residents, and our businesses. From the beginning, I said it would be important for us to learn the right lessons from the pandemic. In some respects, that's meant moving quickly, more quickly than we probably thought that we could. But being flexible is the key, such as conducting remote inspections, accepting permits and plans electronically. We have a project funded that would make this more than a stopgap and demonstrates how valuable it is to implement these kinds of opportunities in a permanent way. The streetscape study that's underway is a natural extension to our need to quickly support during the pandemic restaurants and retail that was struggling. And now it's about how do we come out of that and determine which of these benefits we can continue. Our retail corridors downtown, they're not static or monolithic. We need solutions that are important to residents, businesses, and visitors to maintain that high quality of life.
Thank you, Mayor O'Connor. That brings us to question 10. Regarding affordable housing, what are your plans and how will you prioritize them? And we'll start with Ms. Dougherty this time.
I think we have to be as clear as possible and build 100 affordable housing units in the next 10 years, so we could end up with 1,000 units. Point in time evaluation shows 316 people who are registered on the Community Action Agency as homeless in the survey. How do we do what I say? I think we go to a model that we used before on aging retail structures, and we create incentive taxation to have aging retail reconfigured to have retail with residential above. This is the way that we can get smaller units, more affordable units that are not always two bedroom. We've talked about this from the very beginning. Incentive taxation, fee waivers, fast track approvals, minority owned business gets you a bonus, bonus incentives for offering childcare in the retail space. If you think about how much a $15 an hour employee has to pay in rent, it's 60% to pay for those $1,200 apartments. They can't afford it. We have to be more creative. And my idea from the very beginning was the best one.
Mr. Funderburg.
Thank you, Jennifer, for adopting my idea that you mocked last debate where you said this isn't Hong Kong. But Hong Kong has, in essence, our business model on how we can solve affordable housing. Affordable housing having smaller units. That's been my solution from our very first debate. So I appreciate you following up on that. Secondly, we have to have responsible government. It is beyond me why we are paying $100,000 a year, according to our mayor, on land that we can't develop when we have people that need affordable housing. We have people that need affordable housing right now. And right now we're cutting a check for $100,000 a year that goes nowhere, that's not producing anything, that doesn't make any sense, that's irresponsible government. My solution is to reallocate those resources, sell the land, put affordable housing on it with other mixed use and other items so we can create a tax base and we can solve affordable housing problem within 24 months. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mayor O'Connor.
Thank you. Our residents that live on the west side of the city of Frederick actually live in among the most affordable housing communities in the city. And what they deserve is the same kind of first-class amenities that we're willing to deliver to neighborhoods all across the city of Frederick. I did not love the West Side Regional Park Hargett Farm purchase, but I inherited it and we made action. We have worked with entities to bring activity to that park, and we're putting multi-purpose fields there to give that side of the city the amenities that they deserve. I've already talked about our Department of Housing and Human Services and what that's going to mean. We're going to be bringing forward in the next month or so a proposal, a request that we had received for a fee waiver on affordable housing project. And I want the Board of Aldermen to have a conversation about the parameters of what a fee waiver program can look like. We will continue to support all of the low-income housing tax credit applications that come through our office and the pilot or payment in lieu of taxes agreements that we collaborate with the county on to create these opportunities. Today, we ribbon cut the Ox Fiber Brush Company, 83 new workforce housing units, people at 40 and 60% AMI. These are the kind of projects we want. And that developer said, Mayor, give me more projects that I can do in the city of Frederick. This is a wonderful place to do business.
Right. Alderman Wilson.
As I said it earlier to the response to the MPDU question, we do need to do a better job with affordable housing in the city. Again, we have about 7,000 or so homes that are approved to be built in the city of Frederick over the next 20 years. A low percentage of that is affordable, and that's concerning for me looking out 20 years. This is decisions that we make now impact the next generation. So it's important that we focus on this issue and be intentional about it. I definitely want to see our younger people moving here into Frederick, but not necessarily, I don't want them to move in 2 years because they can't afford to live here. And then our seniors who are retiring, don't they deserve to age in place? They need affordable housing options too. So as mayor, I'm going to make that a priority.
All right. Thank you, Alderman Wilson. And finally, our last question, where should the new police headquarters be located? And we'll start with Mayor O'Connor.
Thank you. Short answer, downtown, which I am committed to. And I hope that there will be some very exciting information on this front coming out very soon. I know that's a tease, but there have been closed sessions on this recently, and it would be inappropriate for me to comment further.
Thank you. Alderman Wilson.
I have changed this in recent months, and I do see the value of the police headquarters remaining downtown. I had advocated earlier in my position as an alderman to put the police headquarters out at the Trinity location in New Design Road, simply because the city owned that property. And I didn't want to spend all this money that it's going to take to possibly retrofit an existing building just to keep it downtown. But I have since then changed my position, and I do see the value of the police headquarters remaining downtown. And as the mayor said, there have been closed sessions about this concern, and I will also add to that tease. Good things coming.
Thank you. Ms. Dougherty.
Well, we had a sense that they were going to do a Rose Garden announcement on the new police headquarters. And I do support keeping it downtown close to the courthouse to make it convenient for officers who are testifying in court. But I think it's a pretty pricey policy choice, and they've waited 4 years to do this plan. Meanwhile, we get to pay a little bit more since the price of land in the city of Frederick is up because of competition. Truthfully, location is important, but it's not more important than having a proactive and progressive police department. Having a police department that delivers true community policing. The idea that our officers get out of their cars and make sure that they are on foot or bikes, seeing who the people who they serve. We have to have a police department that is building a presence again. And it doesn't matter where the headquarters is to unless the police officers are actually shaking hands with the people who walk our streets. We have issues to deal with, and it's much, much, much deeper than the location of our new police headquarters.
Thank you. Mr.
Funderburg. I have to say I've enjoyed this debate because you guys have validated all of my innovative ideas this entire time. I have to say the mayor just validated my idea about, he said the developer came to him and said, give me more projects. And he said that the developer provided affordable housing because the developer was able to produce the land and sell products and so forth. I mean, sell housing and so forth. Why not sell that developer some of the land at the Westside Regional Park and have them put affordable housing there also? Why not? I mean, the residents over there do deserve something more than a huge open field that we haven't been able to do anything with for the past 10 years. Only thing that's done over there is with private money, a park, a play area. We need something more intensive. So I appreciate all of the affirmation, and I honestly believe that if we were able to open that field up, open it to development, we could also put the police station over there. We can put other development over there. We don't have to have expensive property downtown. We can utilize our resources so that we don't go deeper to the budget and utilize that money for homelessness and more affordable housing. Because we have 138 acres we're not doing anything with, yet we're debating where to put a police a police force. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you. That concludes the question and answer portion of our forum. It's now time for closing remarks. Each candidate has up to 3 minutes, and we'll begin in reverse alphabetical order, starting with Alderman Wilson.
Sorry about that. I would just like to thank my colleagues for a wonderful discussion this evening. And understanding each of our approaches to solving problems in the city and what our vision is and what our leadership style is. We clearly want to, all of us want to improve the lives of our citizens in Frederick. And we also love our city. You know, the differentiator between myself and my opponent is that what you've heard tonight is more transactional leadership. In the last 20 years, through the different administrations, we've only had transactional leadership. It's time for transformational leadership. It's time for big things. It's time to have a bold vision for the city of Frederick. It's time to write the next chapter of the city of Frederick. City of Frederick is the second largest city in the state, yet we don't act like it. I think it's time that we have a new leader, a mayor, a people's mayor, someone that's going to take us to the next level. This election is not about the past. This election is not about being comfortable with the status quo of today. It's about the future. Our great city is becoming bigger. It's becoming more complex. Now is the time for leadership. I want to be that leader. I'm going to be decisive and not divisive. I will be your next mayor. I want to be your next mayor. And please follow my campaign and learn more about my vision for the city of Frederick. Thank you. Follow my website, rogerforfrederick.com. Thank you again for hosting us.
Thank you, Alderman Wilson. Mayor O'Connor.
Thank you. Thank you again to the Chamber and to the Building Industry Association for sponsoring this opportunity. Steady, knowledgeable, committed, respectful, ethical leadership. That is what I have provided over the last 4 years. In perhaps the most tumultuous period in our nation's and our city's recent history, from the pandemic to racial unrest and equity conversations. That is what this community deserves. And that is what I pledge will continue. Look what we have done, not the promises that are being made. And of course, my opponents will have to degrade the things that we have accomplished because they have to differentiate themselves from what we have done. I have not stopped. I will not stop. I was in City Hall every day of the pandemic. Every day. I will never stop working on behalf of this community, which has provided so much to me, to my family, something that every resident of Frederick deserves, whether they were arrived here by an accident of birth like I did, or they chose this place. Like so many others. Steady, knowledgeable, committed, respectful, ethical leadership. I ask for your vote. I ask for your support. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor O'Connor. Mr. Funderburg.
Thank you, everyone. Once again, I had a great debate. This affirmation of my ideas has given me a lot of hope and a lot of joy. Steady, knowledgeable, ethical, and committed are great attributes when everything is pretty smooth. When we're going in the middle of a pandemic, we need someone transformational. We need someone that's in front of the pack. We need a leader. We need someone that is proactive in helping us solve problems. Someone that is proactive in helping us being able to navigate the uncertainty. Someone that's proactive. We have a great number of children that went to hungry, the word escaped me now, food insecurity. We need someone that's proactive in taking care of that. And during the pandemic, we had a lot of people that couldn't afford their rent. We need someone that is proactive, someone that takes initiative, someone that takes charge. I mean, these are attributes that's great for a teacher or great for someone that is selling software. But when it's come to a pandemic and leading a city, you need someone that is in front of the in front of the citizens, that is a advocate for the citizens, that is an advocate for his businesses. When I investigated the past leadership of Jennifer Doherty, I was shocked at how many controversies it went through. I felt like I was reading something out of the Trump Organization. Every single week, there was something else between her and the alderman, her and the Weinberg Center, her and the city, her and the county. It was something every week. The citizens were embarrassed. The whole city was embarrassed. I was shocked at what I was reading. We don't need to go back to that. We need to do, I'm the one that had the innovative ideas that everyone has had to come to Jesus moment, seeing this debate and say, now we need these innovative ideas. We need to sell West Side Regional Park. It is an anchor around our necks. It is causing us to not be able to meet our needs to our citizens. I am the only one advocating to sell West Side Regional Park, to lower our taxes, sell to a developer so that we can develop it, increase our tax base, increase our land over there for our residents on the West Side, and be able to take, we can eliminate homelessness by selling that part. We can eliminate food insecurity by selling that part. It makes no sense to hold on to this. So no, we don't need steady, knowledgeable, ethical, and committed. We need someone to take charge in addition to that. We need someone to be proactive in addition to that. We need a leader in today's times. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dougherty.
Well, thanks for everybody for organizing this and for watching. And I encourage you to watch the previous debates, particularly the first one. Go to my website, jenniferformayor.com, and you can click on that. Make sure you have a cold beverage because you'll need it. The recent New York City primary is one where ranked choice voting was used on the East Coast to get everybody's attention. And that's one way to do things, to be everybody's second choice. But I really want you to be passionate about who you pick for the next leadership position at City Hall. I've said I don't think Michael's a good leader. I think Roger and John, while they may be nice fellows, they don't bring anything to the table that proves to me they have innovative ideas and a practical plan to get it done. If you want to choose someone who gets mad sometimes when things don't go right, pick me, because I want to put together all the resources of the city to make sure that things run right. If you choose someone who is transparent, that's me, who works to keep you informed on what's going on at City Hall, that's me. The best leaders think on their feet, understanding that simple issues, sometimes like needing stop signs or parks in Clover Ridge, they need hands-on management, breaking down complex issues, making sure that we balance residential growth with economic opportunity. The idea that we're demanding transparency with everyone else, we haven't touched on Fort Detrick. I mean, that to me is just shocking in a business debate. We haven't touched on the leading source of economic growth in our city. Doing the job of mayor requires good judgment. And I've challenged that Michael hasn't shown good judgment. He tried to replace our beloved clustered spires with something else like a flying F. The idea that Maryland might replace its flag logo is as idiotic as that. He hired a consulting firm to help with contracting and making sure that we improve diversity in hiring. But the idea that you would still appoint all white people to the Ethics Commission makes no sense. And that an alderman would approve an all-white board also makes no sense. He supported a complete shutdown of Monocacy Boulevard for the road improvements, but didn't listen to the businesses and residents who were stuck in traffic year after year, and endorsed a contract change with the police department that allowed their shifts to be controlled by contract rather than the management. And he also recently included in the budget a $250,000 contract to perform a comp plan for our park. But more importantly, this whole debate over leadership can come down to a couple of things. I'll take the action. I'll take the vote. Recently, some of the people who served in the neighborhood advisory councils were dissed once again by this administration, ignoring the blight issue. I won't do that. This project of bringing blight relief to neighborhoods is beyond just North Market Street. It goes to the whole city. We're ignoring the things that make our city great, and that is making government work. If there's one place that government can work still, it is in the local level. Now you guys know, now it's up to you. Go to my website, jenniferformayor.com, ask some questions, get a sign, offer your support. Your ballot's coming in a couple of weeks. I'm the only Jennifer on the ballot, and I ask for your vote. Thank you very much.
And thank you to all the candidates. And I also want to include those who, for various unforeseen reasons, weren't able to join us tonight, Steve Hamrick and Steve Gary. On behalf of the Frederick County Chamber and the Frederick County Building Industry Association, I want to thank our audience, and especially each of the candidates, for taking the time to share their views with Frederick City voters. I want to encourage all residents within Frederick City to vote, and if you're not registered, please visit vote.gov to learn more. And thank you, and enjoy the rest of your evening.